A beach baron is down in Nevada with five souls lost. NASA is using Twitter and YouTube to reach the masses. And hang on, Hubble, help is on the way. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, May 11th, 2009. ANN is keeping watch for more details on the Saturday crash of a 1962 Beech A-55 Baron east of Lake Tahoe, Nevada, with five people on board. What we've been able to gather so far from various reports has the twin taking off about 4 p.m. local time from Minden Tahoe Airport in Nevada, overflying a cattle branding party, then unexplainedly flying into the ground. Visibility was reported to be at least 10 miles at the time, but with some gusty winds reported. Witnesses reported no apparent signs of engine trouble or any shedding parts before the impact, about 3 miles west of State Road 88 in Gardnerville. Authorities have identified the pilot as 58-year-old Gary Annis of Minden. He was carrying four passengers. There were no survivors. We'll have details at aero-news.net when more is known. If you thought Twitter and YouTube were just for kids, think again. NASA is making novel use of new media during the upcoming STS-127 shuttle mission scheduled for next month. Actually, it's already begun. Mission Commander Mark Polansky is already sharing updates about his training and flight on Twitter. He's invited followers to submit video questions via YouTube that he'll answer from orbit. Polansky is a New Jersey native and former Air Force test pilot. He'll command the shuttle Endeavour on its mission to deliver the final portions of the space station's Japanese laboratory. Launch is set for June 13th. The use of YouTube as a platform for communications from space isn't too surprising. Back in 2006, YouTube was purchased by Google, which is a famous believer in the value of space as a marketing tool. And come to think of it, NASA may be using Twitter specifically because it is for kids. One of the agency's priorities is reaching young people in the hopes of inspiring space enthusiasts to pursue aerospace careers. As of our deadline, the shuttle Atlantis is in its final countdown for launch a little after 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Weather forecasters have offered a 90% chance of suitable weather. The 11-day STS-125 mission will include five spacewalks to bring the Hubble Space Telescope two new instruments, repair two inactive ones, and perform component replacements to keep the orbiting observatory online another 5 years. Expanding on the list we told you about last week, we've found one more interesting bit of payload trivia. Along for the ride will be a 2009 Lewis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar, the first coin ever to feature readable Braille. NASA's Joyce Winterton commented, quote, "Launching the first coin to contain tactile, readable Braille into space symbolizes NASA's commitment to the spread of knowledge by every means and to every individual," unquote. Dr. Mark Maurer, president of the National Federation for the Blind, hopes, quote, "Perhaps someday a Braille reader will also be part of such a mission," unquote. It's not clear whether the coin will be ceremonially jettisoned. If it is brought back to Earth, it will certainly be worth much more than its face value in a future charity auction. Up next on ANN, Air Canada Jazz pilots get millions in support from ALPA. Embraer has a pre-Ebase milestone announcement. And Boeing's 2009 net orders are back in negative territory. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with a sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 11th. I'm Paul Plagg. Air Canada Jazz, which operates flights for Air Canada, is about to enter contract negotiations with its pilots. Just to make sure the airline knows the pilots are playing hardball, the Airline Pilots Association says it has provided $5 million from its contingency fund to back the Jazz negotiators with coverage of unspecified strategic preparedness activities. ALPA President Captain John Prater remarked, quote, "This grant puts Jazz management on notice that ALPA will reject any attempt to maximize profit on the backs of employees. We want a new contract, not a strike, but the pilots at Jazz deserve and demand an agreement that reflects their contribution to the airline's outstanding success," unquote. Captain Brian Shuri, chairman of the Jazz unit of ALPA, added, quote, "We learned during the last restructuring process that working together puts us in the strongest position possible to achieve the outcome we all seek, a viable, profitable, and sustainable airline," unquote. The big EBACE show opens Wednesday in Geneva, Switzerland, but Embraer had an announcement that just couldn't wait for the show. The company says it's delivered the first Lineage 1000 executive jet to reach a customer. That first recipient is Amer Abdul Jalil Al Fahim of Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. Prestige Jet is expected to manage the aircraft for its new owner. The Lineage 1000 has a range of 4,400 nautical miles with 8 passengers and NBAA IFR reserves. It's Embraer's largest executive aircraft, and the development program was launched at EBACE 3 years ago. Prestige Jet was formed in 2007 and operates out of Abu Dhabi International Airport. EBACE is the European Business Aviation Convention and Exhibition, an annual event which started in 2001. This year's theme is Business Aviation, the Right Tool for Challenging Times. Boeing has admitted losing another order for airliners, and this one really hurts. The company didn't name the customer, but said only that the cancellation involved 25 787 Dreamliners. That puts Boeing's net order total for 2009 back in negative territory at minus one. But more important than the scorekeeping, the order was worth $4.4 billion at list prices. The Dreamliner, which is about 2 years late to market, still has a theoretical order backlog of 861 planes, but it's possible other orders may be at risk. The first test aircraft is scheduled to make its first flight before the end of the current quarter, and Boeing hopes for certification and the start of deliveries next year. Still ahead, those who have cost lots of money when they're flying C-17s. The GAO warns the reliability of the GPS system may be at risk. And what was it Mom said about things which appear too good to be true? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, May 11th, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. The U.S. Air Mobility Command has released the results of its investigation into the January 30th gear-up belly flop of a C-17 Globemaster III at Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan. There was no big mystery uncloaked, rather a simple case of those who will becoming those who have. The Accident Investigation Board concluded the primary cause was the failure of the pilots to lower the landing gear and confirm proper aircraft landing configuration in accordance with the before landing checklist. Contributing factors mentioned included aircrew distractions, task saturation, reduced cockpit visual cues, failure of the flight crew to cross-monitor each other's performance, the tower's failure to transmit a required reminder, and the crew's inadvertent disabling of the ground proximity warning system. The plane slid 4,500 feet, causing significant damage to the belly and landing gear, but no damage other than the plane and no injuries. GPS is great, but one of its few downsides may rear its head as early as next year. The Government Accountability Office, which is the investigative arm of the U.S. Congress, is out with a report predicting both military and civilian users may experience trouble using GPS for navigation as early as next year. The study reports the U.S. Air Force is now almost 3 years late on launching replacements for older satellites which are expected to begin failing soon, and $870 million over budget to boot. Among the factors the GAO says are to blame are the lack of a single point of authority for space programs and frequent turnover in program managers, which have hampered funding stability and resource allocation. Loss of a satellite or two would not make the system inoperative, but could bring reliability down below the level to which the U.S. government has committed. Last month's flyover of New York City by the backup Air Force One and two F-16s, which panicked thousands into thinking another big airliner was targeting the city's skyline, has rolled at least one head. Luis Caldera, who served as Secretary of the Army during the Clinton administration, resigned his current job as director of the White House military office last week. It's effective May 22nd. In his letter, Caldera explains, quote, "I have concluded that the controversy surrounding the Presidential Airlift Group's aerial photo shoot over New York City has made it impossible to effectively lead the White House military office," unquote. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs says President Obama has accepted the resignation. A review of the incident by the White House counsel's office reported structural and organizational ambiguities within the White House military office and urged a comprehensive study of the organization. And finally today, we've heard a number of stories over the past year about the wonder tree called Jatropha, whose seeds yield an oil which can be used as a biofuel. Jatropha has been called a second-generation biofuel because the seeds are mildly toxic and therefore inedible, which means it doesn't compete with and drive up prices for food the way fuel made from corn and soybeans has done. Well, what do you know? It turns out Jatropha is already displacing food crops in places that can ill afford it. The British newspaper The Guardian reports that while the miracle tree is supposed to grow just fine under conditions too harsh for most other crops, its yield is still proportional to soil quality, rainfall, and all the usual factors. Several countries are already seeing protests from citizens going hungrier due to rice or other crops being displaced by government-mandated Jatropha farms. In impoverished Myanmar, formerly called Burma, the military dictatorship even ordered individual families to grow some of the stuff instead of food in their home gardens under penalty of death, and then never built enough capacity to process all the seeds, which as a result were left rotting on the ground. This technology remains promising, but the promise of Jatropha trees in desert wasteland freeing us from fossil fuels appears to be headed the way of many other something-for-nothing schemes. Somewhere, somebody's mad at The Guardian for screwing up his Nobel Peace Prize. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves wonders out loud what it will take to stem the accident rate among pilots transitioning to fast, technologically advanced aircraft. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.